Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating witchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Josh
Day. And we're best friends.
Just kind of happy that I was able to do that.
You know, this is our fifth year.
Oh, stop.
I know. Listeners, feel free to send us gifts.
I know. I mean, and when I say gifts, I mean, like, I would love, like, a few rolls of toilet paper and maybe some paper towels. Out.
Yeah, I'm out of pledge, listeners.
Maybe a little olive oil.
I need deodorant.
You know, things like that. We're not
glamorous.
Things. Yeah.
So, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm on zero sleep. So
yeah. Okay. So the advice this week might be a little unpredictable.
Who knows?
We don't know.
Who knows?
But you can read still.
I can.
All right. So let's get to our letter.
Alrighty. Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for your podcast. I learned so much about myself and how to navigate female friendships. I'm from Canada. Very nice people.
I know you're nice already. Very yeah.
Nice people. I've always been a sensitive, empathetic friend, and my ex-friend seemed to always take advantage of me. She was more assertive than I was, and she also inserted superiority in our relationship. Melina, not her real name, and I met 5 years ago. She was very interested in getting to know me and also did everything in her power to get out of her way to cultivate a friendship. Looking back, she always stared into my soul during
Ooh.
Sunday school.
Wow, that's a little creepy.
It is.
Like Satan staring, you know?
Like
you're in Sunday school and someone's staring at
yeah.
you.
And now I'm finally understanding that it was kind of creepy. That's another letter for another time. Melina and I knew each other for some time, but she was always surface level. She always wanted to be better and always seemed to never have any problems. When she did have something come up during the span of 5 years, she was always very taken aback, as if life is a joyride. She never showed any empathy during times of hardship. For the longest, I thought it was just her personality, and I decided to ignore it. When the pandemic hit, that gave me so much time to reflect and work on myself. I was able to come to my senses and remove myself from that friendship because it wasn't good for my mental health. During the pandemic, I was also able to kick things off with my now husband. It was an amazing relationship, and I kept it private because she was always rude when things went well for me or if I met someone. Towards the end of 2020, she texted me again and rekindled our friendship, saying she missed me, and of course, I allowed her back in. Things were different this time. I was engaged and soon to be married. Since my husband and I are a young couple and we're both in grad school, we decided to have a small, intimate wedding. After Melina and I rekindled our friendship, I told her I was engaged and getting married. She was really disappointed that I didn't tell her earlier on. We'd been engaged for 4 months with 3 months until the wedding. She wanted to plan everything from my dress to our home and even the lingerie I would wear on our wedding night.
Yeah.
It's a little...
We're back to creepy.
It's a little much. Yeah. I decided to cut her off again and focus on getting married to the man I love and starting my new chapter of life, drama-free. It gets worse. We usually run into each other at our local mosque, and she has completely changed for the worse. Every time I meet a friend or get close to anyone, she automatically inserts herself into my life. I heard she asks about me to our mutual friends and even goes out of her way to approach me in public if we run into one another. She totally gives me the worst vibes, and I absolutely dislike her energy. I need your advice, ladies. There is something about her that makes me always remember her, and I usually think about her from time to time, although she's not in my life, and I don't want her in my life. So why am I thinking about her, and why does the thought of her and her presence bother me so much? The tired ex-friend.
Yeah. I'm glad you're not friends anymore.
Sure.
Because my first thing, you know, she wasn't happy for you when things go well. That is such a red flag.
It's a massive red flag.
And it says so much about her character.
Yes.
Can't be happy for you. That's not a friend.
Right.
But I think your question is how to get her out of your head. You know she's not a good friend.
Right.
And this is something that we have wrestled with, Joss.
Right.
You know, we're over it. We know it was a friendship that needed to end. We ended it. and still.
Yeah.
Mull it over and over.
Ruminate about it. I think her problem, too, is that she keeps running into this woman.
Yeah, that does make it hard.
Yeah.
So I want to say, ex-friend, that give yourself a break, first of all, because you were young. She made a big impression at a very impressionable time, right?
Yeah.
And then you got into the habit in your friendship of letting her steamroll you.
Yes.
And forgiving her and kind of taking it. And she acted like she had all the answers and then she'd ignore you and that, you know, it was mind fuckery.
Yes.
And it's probably not just you.
Yeah.
I think it's probably how she deals with everyone.
Right.
So it's going to take a little time.
It is.
Right. I'm going to say every time you think of her, you know, that old rubber band around the wrist?
Like,
snap it.
Yeah.
And then think of something that you love about your husband. Yes. Maybe send him a cute text or give him a smooch. Reach out to a different friend or family member.
Yeah.
With something upbeat and cheerful. And that will start to train your brain away from, why does Melina still bother me so much? Why did she ask so-and-so about me last month?
Yeah.
You know, you'll just take your energy, shift it to something positive.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I would also say forgive yourself. I think that's one of the reasons why you keep going over and over what's happened. It's not so much you want her back, but you're probably pissed at yourself for letting her in so many times.
That's so insightful.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, this time it will be different.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we've all been there.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, yeah. Forgive yourself for being trusting and hopeful.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And naive.
Yes.
And you're not that way anymore.
Right. Right.
You know, life is about growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also advise you to take your time with the new friends.
Yeah.
And with the mutual friends that you have with Melina, start cultivating one-on-one time with them.
Yes.
So it's not a group of you and Melina might be there or something like that. So, you know, ask Francesca out for coffee or for a walk and don't talk about Melina.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you have a problem with Melina, then a lot of people probably have a problem with Melina. Because if she's not happy for you about stuff, she's not happy for anyone.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right?
And I also think that, you know, if someone says something like, listen, I know you used to be friends with Melina and you're not anymore. Mm-hmm. Can I share an experience that I had with her? You know, that's normal human talk.
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't want to do is start saying, yes, and then she did this to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and giving her more space in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Because your objective is to get rid of her.
That's right. That's right.
If someone does bring her up, you can say something like, I barely know her anymore.
Right.
But I hate the thought that we might be gossiping about her. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I was also going to say, if someone does approach you wanting to talk about this, you can say, you know, I had my own problems with her, which I resolved to my satisfaction, which means not really having a lot of contact with her. And you'll have to make your own come up with your own process about how to deal with her that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think you should replay that last 10 seconds over and over, what Joss just said, because it's perfect.
You don't want to gossip. That's the thing. Because like Kristen says, if you start telling your friend about what she did to you and then she does this and then other friends, suddenly it's a group of you only talking about Melina.
Right.
And you haven't gotten her out of your brain.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to have the Mean Girls Club where you're all, you know, taking swipes at Melina, even if she deserves them,
right,
you know?
Right.
So, and it also signals that you're the kind of person who's not going to talk behind someone's back
to these kind of a grown-up
new friends. Yeah. You're very adult about this.
Yes.
I, you know, I had my own issues and I dealt with them and I'm happy where my head is regarding her and good luck to you, you know?
Yeah.
When you do run into her, be polite. Hi, lovely day, isn't it? And keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah.
I picture it like at a farmer's market, and there she is.
Yeah.
And you just don't like freak out, don't leave, just hi.
Yeah.
You know.
Carry on with your life.
Be polite. And it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And it's going to take mental training, you know? I think as women, we do dwell on things and go over them in our minds and roll them over and look at them from every angle. And we make ourselves suffer for it.
Yeah.
So if you have to think of her, you just think like, then get your phone, set your timer for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And go ahead and dwell and fester. Right. And then when the timer goes off,
you're done.
Text your honey.
Yes.
Maybe think about what you're going to eat for dinner and call your sister. You know,
I like that.
Do something powerful. But every time snap that rubber band, because every time you're dwelling on her, you give her power.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what she wants.
Right. It is what she wants. She wants her opinion to be the one that matters most.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you don't do that.
Yeah. And absolutely. If you can get out of uninviting her to the wedding.
Yeah.
Or not inviting her to the wedding. Don't invite her to the wedding.
Yeah, don't invite her.
You know, a small intimate thing. She wants to pick out your dress. She wants to pick out your underwear.
That to me was so overstepping. Where do you get off? Is she a bridesmaid and you didn't put it in the letter?
Oh, my God. Please, no.
Please, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But she sounds very difficult.
Yeah.
And we'll take everything you said as absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that turning that negative thought into a positive thought and action will help you retrain your brain not to think of her.
That's true. And this is a great lesson for now going forward, how you're making friends, because you ignored red flags before.
Right.
And now you know not to do that.
Yeah.
You know, better than you see a red flag, put that away in your pocket and wait to see how that plays out.
And actually, Joss, that reminds me.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to grab some papers. We talk about vetting a friend.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We have some hints on what that looks like.
Yeah, we absolutely do. But it's important that you see the red flags, even the pink ones, where you like, even the pink ones, right, where you want to kind of just say, oh, this is not so bad, and I'll just ignore it. Even those, you want to make a note of them, because that stuff builds up,
It does.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like on a first date, you want your meeting to be on neutral territory.
Yes.
At a cafe, a restaurant, in a park, for a designated amount of time.
Yes.
I have a half an hour on Wednesday morning.
Yes.
And that was a tip from Dr. Calise.
That's a great tip.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like a date.
Yep. Yeah. I have a half an hour, and then you set your timer on your phone and like, oh gosh, maybe you're going to be relieved to get out of there. Like, this didn't work.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll say like, oh shoot, I wish I had more time.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
And make another date.
Make another date. Yeah.
Don't overshare.
Yeah.
Right. You want to talk about your life and your job and your work and your family, but just because you felt a connection with them doesn't mean they should know everything about you.
It really is like a date, you guys. Seriously.
Here, number three, Joss.
Number three. Let her talk too. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, converse, don't hold forth. This should be mutual. If there are two of you, one should talk 50% of the time. Also, ask good questions.
Yeah, I think that's the next
one. Right,
one.
That is the next. Yeah, ask questions that lead to the conversation. You want to get to know this person.
Right.
So you don't want to just like sit there and have nothing to talk about while you're drinking coffee.
So some of those leading questions are not like, where did you grow up?
Right.
But maybe, because that would be like Connecticut.
Yeah.
You know? but like, what did you like best about that?
Yeah.
Or, you know, did you move here for any particular reason?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So you want to develop a conversation where she's talking about the why rather than just the facts.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't
want to interrogate her.
Right.
Don't put yourself down.
Yeah, that's important. Sometimes self-deprecation can be fun and funny, but if it's too much, it's kind of a red flag.
Yeah.
It kind of shows a little bitterness there.
Right.
So be careful about that.
If you say like, oh, it's so good to be out, I have no women friends.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No good. no good.
If you're like, I'm so boring, I live such a boring life, or I wish I was in a PhD program.
Right.
You know, if you put yourself down a lot, you're signaling like your self-worth isn't great.
Right.
So how much fun is it going to be your friend?
Absolutely. That's the truth.
Number six.
Avoid labeling yourself.
I'm a Sagittarius. Introvert, extrovert, boss bitch. We all have aspects of our personality that are introverted and extroverted and bossy. If you announce, for example, I'm an introvert, you're basically saying you need special handling. If you announce I'm an extrovert, you send the message that you're all fun all the time. No one is just one thing. Yeah, take the time to kind of get to know
each other. I hate those easy words like, oh, I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
You know, which you know, implies some fragility. And yeah. I can't go out too often, you know. And
right.
You don't need to label yourself. I mean, some people like to go out more than others.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that.
The label is not entirely accurate also.
It's like those love languages.
Yeah.
My love language is gifts, you know. And I think that, you know, we all have some.
Yeah, right? Something. Yeah.
So don't put yourself in a box right away.
Right. I agree.
Don't gossip. We covered that.
Yeah.
And then if you had a nice time, mm-hmm. ask her to meet again.
Yeah.
And maybe do something like, I've been meaning to go to the botanical gardens.
Yes.
Any interest?
Yeah.
Not like, I'm going to the botanical gardens at 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah.
Meet you there. You know, you want to give her a little room.
Yeah.
And then you'll know by her response, like, oh, such a busy month.
Yeah.
Maybe in May?
Yeah.
Then, great, she still wants to hang out with you. Or maybe she'll say, like, yeah, let's go this weekend.
Yeah.
You know,
and then that would be great.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then in your friend, you want someone who listens, who's polite to everyone you encounter, doesn't talk too much about her personal life. You know, you don't want someone vomiting up their tragic childhood the
Not
first time
at the
you
beginning,
met
them. No. My goodness.
I mean, it's really fun to talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
But with an established trust
yeah.
and everything. Why don't you go on number four there?
Number four.
That's one of my favorites.
Watch her body language. Is she on her phone the whole time? Does she look physically uncomfortable? Is she looking away or fidgeting? Or does she lean in when you're talking? Maybe she nods and smiles. Yeah, body language is so huge. You know, try and keep track of those sort of unspoken social cues.
Yes.
Because that will give you an idea of how well your date is going. Remember, mm-hmm. it's a date. And whether you can, like, do this again if you're both interested in seeing each other again. Number five is when the friend date is finished, see how she reacts. This has been great. Let's do it again next week, or I'm going out of town for a bit. But when I get back, do you want to meet up again? Or does she say, I'm super busy next month?
Yeah.
And if she says that, that's a no. Just let it go. That's definitely a no.
Yeah. And if she really is super busy,
yeah,
then she'll say, I'm super busy. I'll text you when this project is done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's not necessarily a blow off.
Right.
You just are going to leave it in her court at this point. I always say take note about how she talks about women.
It's so true.
You know, if someone says these red flag statements, you know, don't re-invite them.
Yes. Yes.
I don't have women friends. We always talk about
that's
that.
That's a big one.
A lot of people are intimidated by me.
Huge. That's a huge one. Very red.
All my old friends took her side.
Scarlet. There's a scarlet red flag.
I used to have a very close friend, but we had a huge fight and we never speak anymore.
That's no good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really no good.
Yeah. Again, in these beginning times, you're building something.
Right.
You know, you want to make sure that you have mutual interest in friends.
Right.
That she's reliable, you know, she shows up on time, answers texts in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
You want someone who has the same level of interest as you do. So if it's not reciprocal,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't fight too hard to make it, you know, to go overboard.
Right.
Give each other some room. And then, like, when you're with her, how do you feel?
Yeah. Do you feel like, oh, I like this person?
Yeah. Do you feel like, oh, all right, here goes another hour of my life,
right.
You know? you know, do you feel boring?
Yeah.
I had a friend tell me recently about trying to make a new friend in the neighborhood. And, you know, the woman was nice and they had some things in common, just like geography. But the woman talked the whole time. Mm. And my friend said, when I was done, I was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And I barely said a word.
That's no good.
Right.
Yeah.
That's no good. So if you feel like, oh, that was fun, you know, we had a few laughs or just like a good vibe,
mm-hmm.
that's your intuition.
Yeah.
Right? Listen to it. And, you know, how does she seem to feel?
Yeah.
Right? Oh my gosh, I have so much about this. Some of this is for maybe a little more in depth. Yeah. But, another red flag is over dramatization of their problems.
Yeah.
So that's a way for people to feel interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had friends or, you know, like acquaintances say, you know, oh, I was, my mother kicked me out when I was 16. But what really happened is she spent the summer with her grandmother, you know, in Santa Barbara or something like that. You're like, oh, you poor suffering thing. You know, I mean, maybe you had a huge fight, but don't say like I was homeless.
Right.
If you mean for 3 weeks, I stayed at my friend's apartment until my new house was ready.
Yeah. People are that extra and that dramatic.
Yeah.
That's going to carry over.
Right.
And you don't need that.
Yeah. Those are drama queen size. And then, do all their stories sound like crazy, zany, over the top? Are they doing stand-up comedy with you?
Yeah. That's also too dramatic.
Yeah. And if you feel like anyone could be sitting in the chair across from her and she's not really interested in you, don't make another date.
Right.
Then you're the one who's super busy next month working on that project.
Right.
And this is just like a pet peeve, but when people talk about themselves in superlatives, it's a pink flag, you know, like I always know what other people are really thinking.
Oh yeah.
Or I'm never wrong when it comes to this.
Oh yeah.
Or I'm the next Adele, you know, in the author world that happens a lot. I'm the next Nora,
you know, and sure you are.
I'm the next Steve King.
Yeah.
And you know, good, believe in yourself, but you know, come on.
Yeah. Let's be realistic. These things take time, you guys. That's what you really have to remember. You can't just push it all into like one coffee date and just really let it be organic. Let it happen over time.
Yeah.
Let it happen by itself. You can't force it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would say that it will take a year to know if this person is a good friend, a reliable friend, friend you enjoy, etc. And then it probably takes a few more years before you can say, I think she's my best friend.
With us, remember, we knew each other for a while before I admitted all kinds of stuff.
I know we were acquaintances. Then we had a friend group. Then we kind of gravitated toward each other. It was years. And it's smart.
Yeah.
You know, it's smart. You see how people react. If they're calm. If they can laugh. I mean, remember was it your 40th birthday when we drove to New York?
Oh, that was awesome.
That was so great. And the person approached the car asking for $9.99.
That's all this person, he was living on the streets and he wanted some money.
Yeah.
And he wanted $9.99.
Yeah, he was very specific.
Very specific about that.
And, and you know, we gave it to him because we were at a stoplight. Yes. And we laughed about that.
Yeah.
You know, like I think I had to pull the car over because we were really laughing so hard.
That was really fun.
So, you know, that's when you start to know
this
is a friendship worth nurturing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to find that your friend has flaws.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as a perfect friend. Although there are close people. And you have to be able to let them be flawed humans and maybe not always come through exactly as you had hoped they would, whether it's, you know, a birthday gift or a funeral, you know, some like, you know, some people aren't comfortable with death.
That's
and
true.
So they're going to flake out on you when you lose somebody or, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people aren't good, at parties.
Yeah.
And so it's more fun if you're one-on-one.
Right.
So we're not talking about like ditching everyone who has something.
No, you know? I mean, the quirks are fine. I think you have to think about it like, are these things that I can live with?
Yeah.
These little weirdo quirks.
Right.
And if they are, great. Then you know, you just know that your friend has this weird hang up, this weird quirk.
Right.
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 And once you get much closer with her, you can say, you know, you have this weird quirk. Like, you have this weird hang up.
For example, recently I said to Joss, you know, who's much more content to stay home for longer periods of time, I said, I'm going to let you invite me. Mm-hmm. And Joss said, you're going to wait a long time.
I said, I'll never do it. I'll never do it.
It was the summer. It was really hot. Her house was so nice and cool. She wasn't going to ever say, hey, let's go out.
No.
And I think, fine, you know, yeah. I get it. You are not the person who goes out as often as I do. That's and true. My strategy for that is having more than one friend.
Yes. You know? That's how you do it.
So I'm not sitting there saying, oh, I can't believe Joss isn't free. You know, she never wants to do this. And, you know, I'll say like, okay, I'll call Christine.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Call her up. That'll be fine.
So, yeah. So we're not saying look for the perfect, but look for the acceptable.
Yeah. Like what you can live with. It's the same thing with your husband.
And the chemistry.
And the chemistry. Yeah. It's the same thing with your husband, your boyfriend, your partner, whoever. Mm-hmm. Like what you can live with.
Right.
Like, I remember there was an episode of Oprah, which is so hilarious. This was many years ago. And I don't remember what it was about, but there was a couple on. And the wife hilariously could not stand when her husband brushed his teeth in front of her. And he was just bewildered, the poor man. He was like, I've seen all three of my children born. Right. You can't stand that.
Your gums. I can't look at your gums.
It was so funny. But that's like the little weird quirks. Of course you can live with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, there are things, you know, little things that you just swallow because it's... the big picture is so much better.
Yeah.
You know, so if your friend is sloppy or she's perpetually 15 minutes late, if it's only 15 minutes, then you know that if you say 7, she's going to be at 7:15. So make the reservation accordingly.
Let's say 6:45.
So we hope that helps as you enter this new phase of your life. And congratulations on your marriage.
Yes.
And I hope it goes beautifully. Yes. I love small, intimate weddings.
So do I.
And, and give yourself a break. You were young, and just what a great learning experience this is for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to make these mistakes again.
I agree.
All right. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net, and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.